The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and team.
All right, time to get into the waiver wire for week three. Daniel Jones, Kyle Allen. Actually, pretty nice week for quarterbacks on the waiver wire. We actually have a couple of IDPs we're excited to tell you about. And who's the number one running back? Is it Wayne Gallman? Is it Darrell Williams? Is it somebody else? Can Frank Gore have another good game? Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Adam Azer. I think I lost two very close contests to Jamie this week. Jamie?
Two? I know one for sure.
Which one? Which one?
The telethon one I know you lost.
Yeah, I think 2QB. Did you beat me in 2QB also? I think you did.
If I did, it was a miraculous victory because my team is terrible. I didn't even look.
Your team is terrible. My team's even worse.
Bro, my two quarterbacks to open the season were Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Oh, well.
That's only two I had.
Mine were Breeze and Cousins, so I feel your pain.
I played Baker and Mason Rudolph this week. I did?
Yeah, you beat me. We were tied going into Monday night. I had Vernon Davis. Mm-hmm. You had Chris Thompson, so congratulations.
Wow. I honestly swear to God, I didn't look. And I was thinking about this morning. I thought I had two teams that were winless. Well, the other ones are Fantasy Football Today team league, which is I'm terrible in that league too. And I thought this is going to be the first year where I have a winless team.
Well, I'm glad I could bring you this good news. You are on the scoreboard in the two quarterback league. And Dave, I don't think I played you in any leagues. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I have absolutely no idea how I did in any of my leagues except for my dynasty league. This is the league. I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast where I had nothing at receiver. Dave, I came into the year strong at running back, strong at tight end, nothing at wide receiver. And now I'm loaded at wide receiver after 3 weeks. Got McLaurin, got DeMarcus Robinson, got Aguilar, got Dorsett. You know, all the stud receivers that we told you to draft in fantasy this year.
Dave, you're 3-0 in the 2QB league, by the way.
Oh, all right.
McLaurin, everybody's calling him Scary Terry. Is this just a Rick and Morty reference, or is there like a story behind this? I keep seeing Scary Terry,
I think it's Rick and Morty.
Okay, Rick and Morty. It is.
Maybe he's a fan of horror flicks. I don't know. Case Keenum is pretty much a horror flick for the Redskins at quarterback, and he's still making it work.
Yeah, they have the 9th best passing offense in the NFL, and Terry McLaurin is, and can we just call him McLovin? He is a top 10 wide receiver so far. All right, guys, waiver wire stats, things that people need to know. Daniel Jones is about to face a team that has allowed 3 touchdown passes to 3 straight quarterbacks. Do you have Daniel Jones in your top 12 this week?
Yes.
All right. Darrell Williams, his next 2 games are against teams that allow the 7th most and 5th most fantasy points to running backs so far. We don't know the status of McCoy and Damian Williams, but Darrell Williams will be a popular pickup. He's 2% owned. Philip Dorsett, 38% owned. He has 6 touchdown catches in his last 7 games. Just had his first game in that stretch, though, with more than 5 targets. Do you have Philip Dorsett, 38% owned, in your top 30 this week?
No, just outside.
I believe he's just outside for me.
All right, Will Disley, this one
I love. That will change, though, if Edelman is not playing.
Right, and reports seem to indicate that Edelman's going to play, but at least it looks good. This one's great. Will Disley's 51% owned. He's facing the Cardinals. They allow 21 fantasy points per game in non-PPR to tight ends. The Chargers are second worst at 12 fantasy points per game. The Cardinals allow more fantasy points to tight ends than 18 teams allow to quarterbacks. That's amazing. And Wayne Gallman will be a popular pickup as well. He has had 6 games in his career with double-digit carries. In those 6 games, he has scored 8 to 10 non-PPR fantasy points 4 times and 11 or more fantasy points in PPR in 4 of those 6 games. He also had a 3-game stretch in 2017 with 6 or 7 catches in each game. So Jury's out. We don't know how good Wayne Gallman is. He's going to have a chance to show us.
Mm.
We don't. Mm. Well, how do you think?
I think you're 100% right, Adam, because he did that in 2017 with a failing Eli Manning and a bad offensive line, and that's when they started to really revamp that offensive line, and the quarterback situation may be the best that he's ever had.
Oh, it is. It is. Okay.
I think you take it on a week by week basis, with him as a starter, but he's absolutely going to be the most added player this week.
He'll be the most added player because he's starting from 6%. He was barely owned to begin with, and people are just going to gravitate toward him. I think this is Daniel Jones' team now. I think this offense will run through him. I'm not even convinced that Wayne Gallman's going to be the every down guy for the Giants. So don't blow big fab on him. No, don't, please.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Over 10%?
Well over 10%.
This
30%
is a good debate.
At least.
30% on Wayne Gallman.
For a guy that's going to be a starter for 8 weeks? Absolutely.
I don't know if he's going to be the starter for 8 weeks.
He's going to be the starter for 8 weeks. Who are they going to bring in? C.J. Anderson to start over?
No, I don't know who they're going to bring
in. They're going to promote Hillman from the practice squad?
Wayne Gallman is so good. A third of your fab?
He is a starting running back for a team that is going to be a better offensive unit, yes, because of what this offense could be with Daniel Jones.
I mean, that's kind of the key is what work will he get? He only had 5 carries. They just threw and threw and threw after.
Well, they're chasing
Barkley.
18 points.
Yeah, you can't really.
I gotcha.
They're playing a terrible Washington team this week. He's going to go off. The next 2 weeks are going to be tough for him. But you're talking about a situation right now where the Saquon Barkley owner needs somebody's going to get touches. And he is not going to be Barkley. But you gave the numbers, Adam. Every time he's had double digits in carries, it's happened 6 times in his career. And 4 of those games, he's hit 11 or more PPR points. And that was in a terrible situation. And it wasn't like he was getting 20 carries per game or 20 touches per game.
Right, right.
We're talking 12 carries, 15 carries. He's not going to be Barkley. Don't get it twisted. He's not going to be Barkley. Don't spend 50% of your fab on it. But you have to get him. And everybody's going to try and get him. So you got to get him. If you want to be the guy that doesn't get him, I totally get it. Look, he's not a special talent. There's nothing about him that's special. It's situation. It's total opportunity and what he's able to do with the situation that we're going to find out. But unless they go and they make a trade for, let's say, Kenyon Drake, or they go and they bring in...
Which they won't do.
It would be dumb unless they're getting him for a 6th or 7th round pick as a complimentary option
right.
to Saquon Barkley for the future. But, I don't know if Miami's doing that. And so unless they do something like that, unless they say, okay, Jay Ajayi is our answer to get us through, they're not a playoff team. This is a team that's got to, be a little conservative. So go get – here are the options that are most likely available. This is according to Ralph Vacchiano.
Vacchiano.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah,
C.J. Anderson at 28 years old, and we know that he's better when he comes in as the second team than he is with the first team. So maybe you get the Rams situation. That could certainly put Wayne Gallman on the bench. Doug Martin. 30-year-old guy that's got a shoulder injury. LeGarrette Blunt, who's 32 and probably moves as well as us.
I'd rather have C.J. Anderson.
These are the options available.
What about
Alfred Morris?
I don't think there's an option that's going to take Gallman completely off the field.
No, and that's the point.
But I think I don't know if he's going to be the every down guy. 11 PPR points, really? He had that in 6 games?
Yeah, he did.
Four of six games. And that was in 2017 when the Giants were absolutely horrid. Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, is Daniel Jones going to drive them down the field and hand the ball off, and Gallman's going to benefit from maybe getting some goal line work? We don't know. But as Jamie mentioned, that's that 4 out of 6 games with 11 or more fantasy points PPR. He only had 15 carries like once. He was usually 11, 12 carries, something like that. I think he'll get
and
more
last,
than that.
Last year,
he's okay as a pass catch.
Last year, and ironically enough, it was against the team he's facing next week. He had 14 carries. Last year against the Redskins in a game where Barkley played and was great, and he was miserable. So take that for what it's worth. But the Washington run defense at that point was actually pretty good. It was I gave this stat in the preseason. Barkley was the first time since Next Gen Stats had been keeping this number that he faced an eight or more guys at the line of scrimmage, and it was the best performance against that type of defense. So they were clearly stacking the run and trying to make the Giants have to throw the ball in that game. So I don't think that Gallman is a weekly starter for your fantasy team, depending on what the week looks like. But we're getting into the bye weeks now. You're getting into injury situations. You're looking at guys who are just struggling that were supposed to be good potential flex options, whether it's a Latavius Murray or a Miles Sanders, who may start to play better after we saw last week.
Yeah.
But Gallman's in the type of situation now where you're talking about, Adam, you follow the Giants more than we do. We watch the games as much as you do, but you're clearly in tune with that team. What would you anticipate for Wayne Gallman? 15 touches?
Yeah, I think, yes. At least. And as you said, it could be more.
As you said, in that six games where he had double digits in carries, you said it. Three of those he had five or more catches.
Right.
And so you're talking about a situation where he's proven. Heath talked about this on CBS Sports HQ yesterday. He's not an efficient wide receiver. He doesn't necessarily turn his targets into a good catch rate. But he's still a guy that I think with Daniel Jones and what this offense could be and the offensive line from where it was in 2017 to where it is now when he was getting those double digits and carries is obviously better. And so for a one-week situation against Washington, I think he's going to be a starter for most fantasy players. And then moving forward, once we get past Minnesota and New England, when the schedule starts to lighten up, remember, Barkley most likely is going to be out until their bye week in week 11. That's the eight-week window. I think that's why the report is what it is, 4 to 8 weeks. 4 weeks is if he's Superman, which he could be, and comes back and is 100% and you know, no issues with the high ankle sprain. 8 weeks most likely, because if you're the Giants, you may beat Washington, you're probably losing the next two games, and then it's a crapshoot the rest of the way. So I think you take it as cautious as you possibly can with Barkley and give Gallman the opportunity to show that he could be the long-term backup for him if, in fact, this does happen again.
I think this is going to be a very good test case in talent versus opportunity because it is a good opportunity, at least as of now, for Gallman. I just don't think he's that good of a running back. I know that he was on the roster bubble in training camp. And as for the schedule, all these games that the Giants are going to play without Saquon through their bye, there's only two matchups that look good to me. It's the one next week against Washington, and then there's the other one against Arizona. If we're talking waivers, you want to spend your first waiver claim on him, that's fine. I guess my nitpick is on the fab. And I think spending a lot of fab on a guy who might only be good for one or two games over the next 2 months is just it's something that just gives me a bad feeling in my gut. So I would not go overspending for Wayne Gallman.
I sort of feel like the way I feel about Gallman would be similar to the way I would feel about Peyton Barber if Ronald Jones were not in the picture, where you're just hoping that this guy gets a lot of touches and is in a good offense. Will the Giants have a good offense? I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as good as the Bucs. But is that a fair comparison? Like, you want, if Ronald Jones were out of the picture, you'd want Peyton Barber on your team for bye weeks, you know, if you're desperate, but you wouldn't be so jazzed about having him. And that's sort of how I feel about Gallman.
I think that's fair, you know, in comparing him to the Bucs situation, at least the Giants have an offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that you could say is in Gallman's favor. And that would also be assuming that he's going to be the only guy, just like you're assuming that Peyton Barber would be the only guy.
Right, hypothetical.
In Tampa Bay.
Hypothetical.
Right, it's all hypothetical, and I don't know if it's going to end up being that way.
All right, they just don't
I mean,
really
they've got
it.
Running backs on their practice. The Giants have running backs on their practice squad. They're probably going to call one of those guys up.
Hillman's the only guy.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, I think he's going to get a decent amount of work, but yeah,
I think
the schedule
15
sucks.
Touches is fine, but I don't know what he's going to do with them.
If it were only 4 weeks for Barkley, you know, then I wouldn't really be that interested because the matchup.
Of course,
terrible, but,
yeah,
but
of
yeah,
course.
But it's probably more.
Of course,
it's probably more. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about everyone else. It is game time. It is Tully time. Time for the top additions presented by Tullamore Dew. We'll go position by position here. We'll get to the big news. We'll recap Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. Talk about Baker Mayfield. Talk about Mitchell Trubisky and three touchdown catches in one quarter for Taylor Gabriel. How about that? But let's just start with quarterbacks. Who are your top three at quarterback to pick up, guys?
Well, it's Daniel Jones. It's Kyle Allen. And then for right now, it's Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm. Against the Giants.
I'd put Jacoby Brissett second.
Yeah, if Brissett had T.Y. Hilton, he would be first for me. But without Hilton most likely playing, I think it's hard to trust Brissett because I don't think this receiving corps is very good and they can just run right through Oakland. So I struggle with Brissett and Gardner Minshew as the fourth and fifth guy. But I think Case Keenum, as long as he's a starter against that Giants team, you've seen how bad they can be. And Keenum has actually been throwing the ball very well. So Jones and Allen are an easy one and two. And then Keenum, I think, is the third one, at least for me. I just like the way that he's been playing as a fantasy option, and I think given how bad this Washington defense is that he's going to have to throw. So I would actually start Case Keenum over Baker Mayfield this week.
You said the Washington defense has been bad. You meant the Giants defense? We're talking about Keenum there?
The Giants defense is bad, excuse me.
Okay, well, it's both obviously Jones and Keenum are both in play in this game. Let's say I don't need anyone for this week. Let's say I'm looking long-term here. Who are you picking up, if anyone?
If anyone, it's Jones. Just to see if he can keep this up and maybe he becomes a weekly starter in fantasy and you can flip him for something or use him as a bye week quarterback. You'd have to see who he plays when your starter goes on bye.
Right. If you tell me Cam's out for an extended period of time, I'll take Kyle Allen first.
Okay. How about
I would take Daniel Jones?
Running
the problem with Jones is his schedule exactly Dave read. Right. It's going to be brutal for him, and Kyle Allen has a much easier schedule.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jones has Washington this week. Then you're not going to want to start him against Minnesota. You're not going to want to start him Thursday night at New England. Arizona at Detroit, Dallas at the Jets. That's not a terrible stretch before the bye. It's worse, I'd say, for Gallman. Okay, running backs. Before we get to the running backs, just two things I want to promote. The iTunes mailbag. Tomorrow, we'll start reading some of your questions from Apple Podcasts, from iTunes, the reviews that you've been leaving. Again, thank you so much. I want to reward you by reading some of them. So give us a nice five-star review. Ask us a question, and I'll read some on Wednesday show. And I'll also read your starter sit questions on the Saturday mailbag. So that's all on iTunes. And join our Fantasy Football Today Facebook group. This week, we're giving away another T-shirt, and the contest is the fantasy player that you hold a grudge against. You're not going to draft this guy because you hold a grudge. I was thinking about it. I couldn't really think of anyone other than, like, off-the-field stuff. But for, like, on the field, oh, my gosh, this guy screwed my team over. I couldn't think of anyone that I'm holding a grudge against, but I'm going to give it some thought. I'm going to reply in that Facebook group. So join our Facebook group. Get a T-shirt. Get some swag. Now, how about we move on to running backs? Who are the top three running back priorities?
I mean, Gallman's the easy one. Darrell Williams would be one if you told me that LeSean McCoy is going to miss time, because that situation's obviously better than the Giants situation. But it sounds as if McCoy is going to play. We had Evan Washburn on CBS Sports HQ on Monday. He was the sideline reporter for the Chiefs and the Ravens, and he said that McCoy was mostly out of the game due to just a little more precaution than injury. You know, he had already done his work, and they felt comfortable enough putting Darrell Williams in the game with a lead. So McCoy should be fine going into the rest of going into week four. After those two guys, it's kind of, I think, what you need or what you're kind of hoping for. Burkhead with James White back may not be as good, but it seems as if his role is kind of being carved out a little bit. And with Sony Michel struggling, I wonder if maybe they turn to him a little bit more. So I would put him third. With Jamal Williams taking away work from Aaron Jones, who knows what that situation is going to be, but it's not a bad idea to stash him. And then the same thing with Ronald Jones. If he's the guy now, as it's going to be probably a week-to-week thing with this Buccaneers offense, but clearly Jones looks better than Peyton Barber. The one guy who I think you can maybe put ahead of at least the bottom three of the top five that you're looking at here, and that's Burkhead, Williams, and Jones, is Alexander Mattison, just as a stash, because if, in fact, Dalvin Cook does get hurt and you have to put in Mattison, he could be a league winner for you. And it's still a little surprising that his ownership is still around 50%. I would, if I'm the Dalvin Cook owner, having roster spot, you should absolutely have him on your bench.
Even if you don't have the open roster spot, make one just so you get Madison on your bench. You got to carry him with you. Cook's been hurt by October each of his first two seasons. I'd put Rex number one, and that's just because I don't feel good about Wayne Gallman. I love that we saw Burkhead get a lot of work just overall. I know that when James White comes back, he's going to be the passing downs guy for the Patriots. But I think Rex Burkhead is hot on the heels of Sony Michel for that running downs role. Not only that, but he's more versatile than Sony. So when he's on the field, defenses don't have that tell that it's probably going to be a run, because when Sony is on the field, you know that he's not going to catch a pass. And I rewatched the game yesterday. There's something that stood out to me. Sony Michel played consecutive snaps one time throughout the entire game. And otherwise, Rex dominated. And it goes without saying that that's because James White didn't play, but I wonder if it's going to be Burkhead for 50% of the snaps and James White for 40% of the snaps moving forward, and then Sony just sprinkled in, and maybe Sony works the goal line, but Rex had some work deep inside the 10 too. So he would be a priority for me. Again, not somebody that I would drop a lot of fab on, but somebody who I think has a chance to develop into a good fantasy starter.
All right, Dave, I'm going to come to you for the wide receivers. Who are your top three wide receivers?
I've got Hardman at the top of the list. I think that the way that Kansas City plays football, and until Tyreek Hill comes back, and maybe even after Tyreek Hill comes back, Hardman could be that top guy. Dorsett is second for me. If he's going to be a top three receiver in New England and he's going to continue to get a lot of targets, yeah, you got to buy in. But I think DJ Chark deserves a lot of attention as well. He's 61% owned, so he's not going to be out there in a lot of leagues. Scored in three straight games. He's the number one receiver in Jacksonville, and I think he fits best what Gardner Minshew is best at, which is throwing to the sidelines, down the field. That's what Chark does. Golden Tate should also be on the list, because he's going to be back from the bye in week five, And we saw it when he was with Detroit, when that team couldn't run the football. Golden Tate was an extension of the run game on these little dink and dunk passes. And I think Daniel Jones is going to lean on Tate because I don't think Wayne Gallman gets the job done. So he's somebody else that should be on the list. Deontay Johnson should be on the list as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you don't make Philip Dorsett the number one player to add, you are making a mistake in fantasy this week.
Wait a second.
Because not only is he going to... Oh, absolutely.
What about Gallman?
This ahead of Gallman. Not only is he potentially going to be... Not only is he going to be the third receiver in an offense that's going to run a lot of three receiver sets, as we've seen, and he's been successful in that role. If Julian Edelman is out for any extended period of time, he's a weekly starter for you for the rest of the season. So
Wait, he should be the number one player.
He should be the number one player to add this week.
I got to push back on that a little bit, because if Julian Edelman is in this week, which it seems like he is going to be, you're talking
doesn't
about,
matter.
Well, I mean, it might matter because you're talking about five, six targets for Philip Dorsett.
It's still an offense that's featuring him.
Featuring him? He had six targets last week. He had seven targets last week. Three of them came with Edelman, four without Edelman. He gets five, six targets a game.
I'm telling you, they like him a lot. They've liked him. It's part of the reason why you look at what this offense has been. They are going to lean on him a little bit more than we start to see. And this is something, again, I'll go back to what Brady Quinn told me. With the way that this offense wants to operate without the tight end in there, they're going to continue to run out these three receiver sets. And without Brown in there, I think you're going to see six, seven targets on a consistent basis for him.
I needed to see it for myself, Adam. And I know that there's this stigma about Philip Dorsett. But he's never even had a 100-yard game. I think he has six games in his career with over 60 yards. He just hasn't been that great. But we talked about it with Wayne Gallman. Opportunity matters. And in this case, Dorsett has talent to match it, got a great quarterback. He's playing a lot. And he's doing a lot of routes across the middle of the field, and I think that that makes a difference. He's lining up in the slot, out of the slot. He's going to continue to play. I think he's worth buying into. I don't know if I'd make him my number one waiver claim, but I think he'd be a top three waiver claim. It depends if I need a tight end or a quarterback.
No,
if I didn't need a tight end or a quarterback, I would probably go Burkhead, Hardman, Dorsett. But I think he's gonna stick in the offense this time around. I don't think he's going to flutter away and be, you know, 1 week good, 3 or 4 weeks bad. And the bad week that he had this year was when Antonio Brown was on the field.
I'm not pushing back on Dorsett. I was pushing back on him as the number one player because, Jamie, if you're saying that you should spend 30% of your fab on Wayne Gallman, then you're basically saying you should spend more than that on Philip Dorsett. And
yeah.
That scares me a little
same,
bit.
Same.
That scares me a bit because he's just basically been so touchdown dependent. Doesn't get a lot of targets. He doesn't get a lot of. You think his role is going to grow? You think he's going to get more targets? You're saying
yes. And with the chance of we're hearing Julian Edelman's fine, but he may miss time.
If Edelman doesn't play, it's a big step for Jacoby Myers. I think Dorsett's role is locked in either way.
All right,
and it depends how desperate you are for a receiver. And
all right,
given the number of receivers that are out there on waivers, I don't see it with the fab.
We didn't mention Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So 64%
should be a second receiver added.
Yeah, Philadelphia this week.
They're going to go off this week. They are absolutely going to go off this week. So I think you're going to get a starting receiver out of this.
He's been better than Devonta Adams this year.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Okay, tight end.
Crazy.
Will Disley's number one,
There's one big name at tight end, and that's it.
How much do you believe in Disley long term?
He's a starting fantasy tight end the rest of the way.
I think given the way that things are unfolding for Seattle, you can buy into him as a top 12 tight end. Yes.
Okay. Would you pick up Greg Olsen or Will Disley if both were available?
Olsen.
Okay.
But that should have happened last week. I'm not sure what Olsen's ownership percentage is.
81%. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if they're both out there, sure. It's 20% of the audience, so Olsen would be first.
Jason Witten, Vernon Davis, or other guys you could look at. Chris Herndon, you can stash as well. Kickers, any kicker that, like, what about Sly? I mean, he's pretty good.
He's been good, yeah. Him and Zane Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt Bryant, Zane Gonzalez, Joey Sly. Okay, and then
Gonzalez has a bye in week 12, so if you pick him up and just make him your kicker, you don't have to worry about replacing him for a long time.
DST, not a great week. So if the Chargers are available, oh my gosh.
I disagree. Yes. Yes, Chargers should be number one.
Yeah, they get the Dolphins. But I don't know. You think it's a great week?
I like the Steelers. Uh-huh. I like the Steelers against Cincinnati.
You know,
I like
the Steelers
Colts against
Oakland.
The Steelers
have been so bad, though, defensively this year.
They were better.
Cincinnati's been so bad offensively this year.
Exactly.
It's a good matchup, but it's not like I'm drooling to go pick up the Steelers.
No, it's not like the Chargers,
but
it's still good.
They're a starting fantasy DST this week. Mm-hmm.
Colts, too. Falcons that are 6% owned. I like them against Tennessee. And Denver, 44%. If you can't get one of those first four, including the Chargers, they would be the next best.
Yeah, I don't like the Broncos.
Well, could it be because they have exactly zero sacks this year? It's ridiculous.
Zero sacks.
They're like the desperation streamer. They're fourth.
Your stat of the game,
if you count the Chargers,
is from Rich Rebar, who we're going to have on the show on Saturday, which is going to be fun. The Broncos are just the eighth team since the 1970 merger to not have a sack through 3 weeks of a season, and the first since the 2007 Saints. That's incredible. I think they're going to have a sack party at some point. I mean, they just have too much talent, and you know, it's just weird. All right, so IDP, two guys, Jair Alexander, 26%. And if Darius Leonard is out, Anthony Walker at 7% owned. Anthony Walker had 14 tackles, 11 solo tackles. He didn't have big games in weeks 1 and 2, but if Darius Leonard doesn't play again, Anthony Walker for the Colts, I mean, that's a big one there. He's 7% owned. Dave, anybody else?
I got seven more names for you at IDP. Sam Hubbard, if he's healthy, available in about half the leagues at defensive line. He and Emmanuel Ogba, who's widely more available, are probably the best that you can get at DL at this point. Shaquille Barrett for Tampa Bay has been on fire. He's available in like 85% of leagues. Preston Smith, linebacker for the Packers, has been getting good production. Hassan Reddick has been stopping the run for the Cardinals. He's available in 90% of leagues. Minkah Fitzpatrick for the Steelers. They just got him. He had a great game. I think he's going to continue to play well. And Kyle Fuller has double-digit fantasy points in leagues where tackles count. Every game so far this season, he's available in 80% of leagues.
All right, cool. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. So we've basically done our entire waiver wire show, but we have a lot more names to get to. And in fact, there are a lot of players who are owned in more than 65% of leagues that are very interesting, like Rashad Penny, like Chris Thompson, like Matthew Stafford, who gets the Chiefs. Would you start Matthew Stafford over Daniel Jones, Kyle Allen this week?
Over Allen, but not over Jones.
Correct.
I think it's close with Jones, though.
Okay.
Jones.
And then, you know, like scary Terry McLaurin. Marvin Jones, they're just a lot of players who are above the threshold, so we will talk about them. Okay, give me a fab breakdown here for your favorite players this week.
30% on Gallman, 30% on Dorsett. Everybody else is right around the 10% range.
I'd go, if you're desperate for a tight end, you can go a little bit higher than 10% on Disley. If you're really desperate for a quarterback and Daniel Jones is out there, you can go higher than 10% on him.
I wouldn't do that.
I might go 11% on Rex Burkhead, like max 11% on him. And then everybody else that we've talked about and will talk about, Hardman and Dorsett would be close to 10%. Chark would be close to 10%. Everybody else would be under 10%.
Dave, how would you like to do me a big favor right now?
I'm thrifty. Solid. Yeah, what's up?
How would you get a FanDuel contest open? Start looking up some prices, okay, while I tell the people about FanDuel. Can you do that for me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. All right. Fantasy football is underway, baby, and there are more ways to win than ever. Go on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT and sign up right now. Make a $20 deposit. Get $5 per week for 4 weeks in site credit. You put in $20, you get $20. You know what you can do for $5 every week? You can win a ton of money. You can enter our FanDuel contest, which is FanDuel.com/league/FFT. It's $5. It's every single week. I cashed this week. I had a very nice FanDuel week. It was a lot of fun. A lot of Mike Evans in my lineups. And I think that's something that you should do on FanDuel. You should look at a buy low candidate who is as underpriced as it gets, like maybe Todd Gurley. He's going to be fairly inexpensive based on what we've seen Todd Gurley go for in the past. Sean McVay talking about getting him more work. Maybe Todd Gurley goes off this week. Get him in your lineup, okay? Dave, you got some prices you like? You got anything for us?
I've already found two deep sleepers at wide receiver.
Who you
just
got?
Based on their price. Paul Richardson for the Redskins is at 4,700. And two or three games, he's had a bunch of targets. He's taken on the Giants. That's a good matchup. I would take a chance on him. And then I've got Darius Slayton on the list right now. He's at 4,800. going to be basically the third option in the passing game for the G-men. Again, great matchup against Washington. Maybe we're heading towards a Redskins Giants bonanza.
I used the Giants. I used Giants Bucks for this week, so the Giants are off the schedule. But anyway, yeah. Sign up for FanDuel.
You used Giants Bucks? How'd you use Giants Bucks? I tweeted it.
It's official. Hey, I gotta give the URL for FanDuel here. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Sign up. Put in $20. Get $20 back in site credit. $5 per week for 4 weeks. FanDuel.com/FFT or download the FanDuel app. The big news, Saquon Barkley, 48 weeks. Pete Carroll said this on Chris Carson. He's had three remarkable punches that have knocked the ball out, and he was covering it, and his conscience was in the right place, and it happened. Now, the quote I have says his conscience, but I think it's probably conscience, but I don't know. It could be either one. But he was like, made it such a point to support Chris Carson after all these fumbles. But I still think if Rashad Penny's out there, you got to pick him up, right?
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if you have Carson.
X-rays were negative on Julian Edelman's ribs. Cam Newton is out this week. There's no timetable for his return. We just got an email in our inbox from Eric. Should I drop Cam Newton for Daniel Jones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tevin Coleman and Jalen Hurd could be back in week 5. The Niners, also the Jets, are on a bye this week. So Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones were listed on the injury report. They play Thursday, so there's an injury report. They're probably playing, right, Williams and Jones?
Yes.
Whereas we're not really expecting T.Y. Hilton this week, right?
No.
What about Alshon Jeffrey? He was listed as limited. They didn't practice, but they put out a report because they're playing Thursday.
It sounds like there's a chance that he can make the game. But even if he plays, I don't think you're going to feel good about starting him. Less than 100%. Tough defense. Packers defenses look great this year.
Especially against the pass. And the Packers offense has not been as great. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to get the ball to Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham. We're more interested in Adams now, please. Yeah. John Gruden says Oakland needs to get more out of Josh Jacobs as a receiver. Sean McVay says he wants to get Todd Gurley in more of a rhythm. A.J. Green will not play this week.
How about you play him for crying out loud, Sean? That's ridiculous.
A.J. Green won't play this week. Sam Darnold seems like he will be ready for week 5. LeSean McCoy has the ankle injury, but trending in the right direction. And as of right now, on Tuesday, do you expect any of the following players? Devin Singletary, Damian Williams. Singletary's against the Patriots. Damian Williams at Detroit. Rashad Penny at Arizona. Ito Smith against Tennessee.
I think the only one that might have a shot is Penny.
All righty. So let's talk about some football games, boys. Washington 31 and Chicago 15. Why did this game get scheduled for Monday night? I don't get it. But
I don't get it either.
At no point in the preseason did you think this was going to be a good game. Pretty big injury.
But the schedule comes out long before the preseason. Schedule comes out in April.
At no point in this calendar year did you think this was going to be a good game? This was obviously one of the best teams against one of the worst. I don't understand.
Unless they were thinking Haskins and this was going to be a game to show them off.
Yeah, maybe, but it's a little early in the season. And like the Redskins are historically terrible on Monday night, by the way. They've lost 8 straight Monday night games. They've lost 17 of their last 18 home Monday night games. That is amazing. Big injury in this game. Akeem Hicks left with a knee injury, but not after giving us an amazing night of being mic'd up. And what are your takeaways for the Bears offense? Trubisky with a big game. David Montgomery had 13 carries. He had 7 of them on the final drive. He had 6 carries for 19 drives.
Idiot. Yeah.
All right, go on.
I can't explain it.
That was a pretty succinct explanation. I retweeted I'm sorry. I wish I remembered the guy who did the film study of David Montgomery from last week, but he was not. He had not been very good. He's jumping around. He's dancing around. He's not hitting holes. And
he did that last night. He had a great run out of it.
He did.
Yeah, that's kind of his game. That's what he does.
Well, none of the running backs look very usable right now. So what do you think about the backfield going forward?
Oh, Thompson looks good. Are you talking about the Bears?
Yeah, Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, I still think Montgomery's the guy you want to own. I mean, Tariq Cohen in non-PPR leagues is droppable.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the buy low window is open on Montgomery.
Agreed.
I think there's plenty of people out there who are getting sick and tired of this, and eventually the Bears are going to realize that they need to lean on him a little bit more.
Are they?
Well, they should. They will should. As soon as Mitchell Trubisky has a 4-interception game, because that's when week. It could be this week. Absolutely. I just think that they've got to be a little bit more balanced. Whatever. This is just a game where they tried to get Trubisky going. Last week they were more conservative and they ran the ball more. In the future, I would think that they'll try and protect Trubisky a little bit by running the football. They should be using Montgomery minimum 16 carries per game. I like that he had 3 catches in the game on 3 targets. I'd like to see that number go up. He should be used similarly to how Matt Forte was used in this offense.
That won't happen.
Why can't it happen?
Because they won't do it. I mean, they're going to still use Tariq Cohen as the pass catching guy for the majority of the time when they're in those situations. So that's the reason why you won't see that type of usage from him.
Who would you rather have rest of season, Chris Thompson or Tariq Cohen, who had 8 catches in week 1 when they were trailing, but only 2 catches in each of the next 2 weeks?
Thompson.
Thompson's the answer, because after he gets hurt, you can go back and get Cohen. Then you've got the best of both guys.
I'm not sure anyone's going to drop Cohen. I mean, maybe they should, but
in non-PPR leagues?
No, in non-PPR leagues.
What does he have already happened in non-PPR?
What has he done in that format to make you feel comfortable?
I was the first one to say he's droppable in non-PPR. Don't believe me. But in PPR, I don't think anyone's dropping him.
I don't believe you.
I said it. I said it on HQ.
Nope.
On a beautiful Friday afternoon.
Nope.
Are you buying
into... How
do you
know if it's beautiful? You never leave the house.
Oh, actually, it was a rainy Friday afternoon. It was a disgusting Friday afternoon. And we had a very subpar lunch that Dave recommended. I haven't forgiven you for that. That place stunk.
Where'd we go?
That sandwich place.
Don't say it on air.
Yeah, that sandwich place. You know, it was bad. It wasn't a chain or anything. Okay, guys. Trubisky and Taylor Gabriel. Are you buying anything from this game?
No. Gabriel got hurt, so he may not play this week. And Trubisky, no. I mean, he's still locking on receivers. He's not, you know, playing well against competent opponents. And Washington is not a competent opponent.
Mm-hmm. They get Minnesota this week. And he's not running either. He has like 20 rushing yards this year. Allen Robinson or McLovin, rest of season?
McLaurin.
How about that? He's good, man. 76% owned. Okay. If Terry McLovin, I really want that to stick, were out there in your league, and Philip Dorsett and Wayne Gallman were out there, who would you pick up?
McLaurin.
I want McLaurin super bad.
Thank you, Dave. All right. I'm good with this game. How about Sunday Night Football? We got Baker Mayfield on the drop-o-meter, guys. Would you drop Baker Mayfield?
Yep.
No. Unless it's, you know, you're stuck. But no, I'd want to hold on him.
I'll drop him for Daniel Jones and then reevaluate in a week.
That is kind of wacky. Not wrong necessarily, but that's kind of wacky.
I know. What have the numbers been for Mayfield? What has Mayfield done to show you that he is a very,
very
good
tough schedule
quarterback?
Really tough schedule so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be done with him. I can't feel good about starting him. I'm going to carry 2 quarterbacks. In some cases, I think I need to do that. Maybe that's what you do if you just don't want to overcommit to Daniel Jones.
Because you're not going to start Daniel Mayfield Jones on the bench next 2 weeks. That's a problem.
Minnesota, New England
this week.
Mayfield is
week 5
is at Baltimore,
at San Francisco, and then Seattle at home. Yeah,
yes.
All right.
Well, San Francisco just lost an important defensive back. I'm not so sure how good they are against the pass. I always talk about the wide receivers.
I don't know if Witherspoon's
he's been playing well. You know, fine. But I don't know that San Francisco's so good against the pass. As I had mentioned, every wide receiver that gets 6 targets does well, including 2 on Sunday. Pittsburgh had Juju and Deontay Johnson. So, anywho, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, like, who are you more optimistic about going forward?
Oh, I think Goff goes absolutely nuts this week.
I agree.
Well, okay, that's this week against Tampa Bay, but I'm just talking in general.
Goff. Oh. I think there's still a lot to like about him moving forward.
Do you think there's still a lot to like about Todd Gurley moving forward?
Yes. I think he's a good buy low candidate because you get him cheap.
I don't know.
If I'm the Barkley owner, I'm trying to get Gurley as a replacement.
That's fine. That's a guy that you can go and try and buy low on, but this was one of the possibilities with Gurley. That he wasn't going to get a ton of work. We talked about the workload being scaled back. And he just, I know some people are saying that he looks exactly the same as he did last year. But I only see that in flashes.
Me
I don't
too.
See it consistently.
I agree with you.
I just don't, I think he's relying more on being physical rather than trying to, you know, just like skate around defenders and burst downfield. I think he's a different running back right now. And I hate to say it, but I'm also very glad I have him on none of my fantasy teams.
I mean, at least the good thing with Gurley is it's not like week one where Malcolm Brown got a ton of work. Brown's carries have gone from 11 to 6 to 3 or 7 to 3, whatever it was. Yeah, I think 11 to 6 to 3 in three games. So
but,
it's that's
Goff's attempts are going up and Goff is doing well with them.
Is
and
he though?
Cooper Kupp in that slot role is kind of
well with them.
Woohoo, Goff?
He's
he did
really.
Fine last week.
He did?
He was okay. Well, it's 17 fantasy points on 38 pass attempts.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's not doing well with them.
Well, I look at the receivers. They did pretty well. I wonder if Kupp is kind of an extension of the run game now.
Kupp's awesome.
They're going to lean on him. Yeah, he is.
If you're going to buy low on Gurley, do it now because Tampa Bay's defense is not good.
What about Robert Woods? Do you think Robert Woods is a buy low?
Absolutely. Same thing. Yep.
Tampa Bay's run defense has been sick so far this year, by the way. They're giving up like 2 yards per carry to running backs. They just shut down Barkley for what it's worth. And
as long as they stay healthy,
right.
That'll
I should
be
give
the
them
case.
More credit. I should give them
They've got some really big dudes on that D-line.
They did a good job against McCaffrey. They played a 49ers team that lost Coleman in the middle of the game, and they played a Giants team that lost Barkley in the middle of the game.
They didn't do such a great job against Daniel Jones. Hey, okay. More waiver wire stuff.
Their run defense. They can't defend Daniel Jones. He makes a lot of plays with his leg.
Right. Okay. Let's see. We're going to take a quick break here. Players to drop, and we'll finish up the waiver wire right after this. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Okay, send out the tweet. Who's on your drop-o-meter this week? And the people have said Baker Mayfield. Well, Dave said he's dropping him. Jamie, how about you? Are you dropping Baker? Actually,
no, as I said, no.
Faker Bustfield was what somebody said, not Baker Mayfield.
That's a better team name than the one you had on Sunday night.
JJ Arthega Heathsai is great. Duke Johnson, drop-o-meter.
That's kind of clever.
Thank you. Duke Johnson.
You could definitely do it in 10-team leagues and 12-team non-PPR leagues.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray.
Yep.
How about Will Fuller?
Smaller leagues, you could. No. There's just so many other receivers out there that you can go and get.
Jared Cook.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. I'd rather start Disley.
I'd rather start Vernon Davis.
TJ Hockenson.
Oh, man.
Against the Giants this week for sure. No.
No, no way.
Darwin Thompson.
He had a chance at 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but his targets are going down.
I know. He's blocking more. When he's going up against teams that don't have a good pass rush, he'll be much more involved.
Darwin Thompson.
Yep.
Jarvis Landry.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, he's on the drop list.
Few news items here. Holding calls went down significantly. That was great. Houston's offensive line made a couple of adjustments, moved some players around, and had a much better game. That's good to see. Buffalo defensive tackle Harrison Phillips is out for the season. Atlanta safety Keanu Neal is out for the season. Jalen Ramsey is sick and not reporting to practice. New England fullback James Devlin is on IR. Colts safety Malik Hooker is out 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. Darius Slay is going to be questionable this week. San Francisco lost to Kella Witherspoon. He's out at least a month with a foot sprain. And Washington is sticking with Case Keenum. We've given you a lot of waiver wire advice so far, but we are going to give you more. And we have Team Name Tuesday for you. So that's coming up on the audio portion of Fantasy Football Today. The video portion will resume. We're doing something a little bit different with the video today. So check it out. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. All right, guys, let's get into the waiver wire. So the quarterbacks we covered pretty extensively. Daniel Jones, Kyle Allen. Dave likes Jacoby Brissett. But Dave, if Hilton's out, would you still take Brissett number one?
I wasn't Oakland? Taking Brissett number one.
Oh, you take him two?
I would take him two if it's the rest of season. I wouldn't do it for week four. He's not even top three for me for week four.
Okay.
Jones, Keenum, Allen.
Jamie said Brissett would be one this week if Hilton were playing, right?
If Hilton were playing, yes.
Okay. So it's something to keep in mind. Brissett's only 56% owned. So Jones, Allen, Keenum, Gardner Minshew, he is at Denver this week. They've been very good so far against Carr, Trubisky, and Rodgers, but no quarterback has thrown 30 passes yet against Denver, and they don't have a sack. Brissett, Mason Rudolph against Cincinnati, and guys, there is someone not only this week but long term that I think we have forgotten, and his name is Andrew Dalton. What do you think?
Hate him this week.
Why?
Primetime game.
Oh. Wah wah! Is that still a thing? Is he no? He's still no good at prime time.
He was better last year with it, but it's going into Pittsburgh where they need a win. I can't see him playing well.
If Stafford is your quarterback, like your starting quarterback, and I'm being serious, like somehow he's your only starting quarterback.
Well, you liked him last week. Why wouldn't he
I
be
did?
Your starting quarterback?
Well, because maybe they had a choice at quarterback. Dalton would be a great bye week replacement. He's home against Arizona in week five.
Yeah, next week. I'm just saying when AJ Green comes back, I think. You know, Dalton could be a solid.
Yeah,
guy for you.
Think you could wait a week. I don't think people are running out to get Andy Dalton.
Here are the next five games for the Bengals: at Pittsburgh, Arizona at home, at Baltimore, Jacksonville at home, the Rams in London or somewhere in the United Kingdom, and then a bye, and then Baltimore again. So there's not a whole lot to love about Andy Dalton.
Honestly, it depends on how you feel about Baltimore because. Dalton's next three games are at Pittsburgh, and they really suck against quarterbacks. Garoppolo should have had a huge game. Now, maybe they're better with Fitzpatrick. That is possible. Arizona in week five, we love it for Dalton. Then at Baltimore, it depends how you feel about Baltimore. They don't seem to have a very good secondary. But then the next 3 weeks are Jacksonville at the Rams and a bye. That's terrible. And then Baltimore again, and then at Oakland and at Pittsburgh. That's just, like Andy Dalton, actually looking at his schedule, I feel like he could win you a league in the second half. At Oakland, Pittsburgh, the Jets, at Cleveland, the Patriots, at Miami in week 16, when he gets AJ Green back. All right, you know what? We can move on. It might be a later in the season type of thing. But Andy Dalton, I might try to buy low on him in a 2QB league or something and see what happens there. And, Mason Rudolph against the Bengals. What do you think? Can he get to 20 fantasy points?
Maybe. Yes, but he's the last quarterback I would look to add this week.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he is going into a bye. Then he gets Cleveland in 2 weeks. The numbers weren't good, but it was just weird, fluky turnovers. They dominated that game, the possession, the total yards. Do you think Garoppolo is worth holding on to through his bye?
Absolutely not.
You do not have to do it. Okay. You can definitely move on and then come back to him after the bye week.
All right, let's talk about running backs here. So we have discussed Gallman and Darrell Williams. If Damian Williams is out this week, do you think Darrell Williams is a starter this week?
Yes, I think he can. I think he makes it in 100% as a top 24 running back.
Okay, so Williams is at Detroit. They so far are allowing the seventh most fantasy points to running backs, and they've allowed 55 or more receiving yards to a running back in three straight games. So Williams maybe can make some hay there. Matchups don't even matter for Chiefs running backs, do they? I mean, it's just so good. Rex Burkhead, Jamal Williams. Well, how do you feel about Ronald Jones right now at 46% owned?
Should be added if you have a roster spot to play with.
But he's not a priority. Like I don't see that, and I go, oh, I got to get him. Like we've debated Gallman.
I'd rather have Ronald Jones than Latavius Murray right now.
Fine, but I'd rather have Burkhead, Darrell Williams, Wayne Gallman.
Sure, that's
Philip
why he's
Dorsett,
low on list.
DJ Chark. Mecole Hardman, if I'm a little light at quarterback. Daniel Jones, if I'm a little light at tight end. Will Disley. He's not a priority.
But could I make the case that with Darrell Williams, you've got such a shelf life that Ronald Jones is the better guy rest of season.
Absolutely. I think you can make that case. I don't think it means that Jones is worth grabbing and stashing and hanging on to. I don't think he's good enough for that yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's Alexander Mattison. And if you need someone this week, he's way down at the bottom of the list, but TJ Yeldon against New England. You're not super interested, right, Jamie?
No, but PPR leagues, you know, similar situation if you're stuck.
Okay, so then what about these guys? They're all owned in more than 60% of leagues. Royce Freeman, Jordan Howard. Oh, wait. First, these three. These are actually in Jamie's column. Rashad Penny, 79% owned. Frank Gore, he's got New England. They allow the second fewest fantasy points to running backs. Chris Thompson. Penny, Gore, and Thompson. This is the check to see if they're available group. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Penny, like you said, Chris Carson's got a fumble issue. So if you're looking for some help, he's not a bad guy to take a flyer on. Just hopefully he gets, he started to pick things up and then he got hurt. Gore, I don't love for this week, but who knows how long Singletary's out. Thompson's a must-add, in my opinion, in PPR leagues. He's a starter. So,
yeah, I mean, man. I love the idea of just picking up Penny to flip him to the Carson owner. Say, listen, your running back is going to fumble his way out of a job. Here's the guy that's going to take it. Now give me a starter.
Okay. Gallman or Penny?
I'd go Penny.
Take Penny. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I take Gallman.
All right. So then what about these guys? Royce Freeman, Jordan Howard. Green Bay, by the way, that's Howard's opponent this week. They're allowing 5 yards per carry to running backs. A lot of that was Dalvin Cook, though. Darwin Thompson, we already said you can drop. And Justin Jackson, two straight weeks with a touchdown call back. They're at Miami. Maybe he can help you out. Royce Freeman, Jordan Howard, and Justin Jackson. I'll take Darwin Thompson off the list. But if you saw Royce, Jordan Howard, and Jackson available, would you be rushing to pick them up? Rushing.
Get it. Maybe Royce because of the split in Denver. Lindsay looked good. He had a good game last week. Part of the reason why he played so much was Freeman missed time with a shoulder injury.
They played him at fullback, too.
I think Freeman's going to be okay. Like, that's good running back bench depth and a good starter for the bye weeks.
What about these guys real quick? Any interest in C.J. Procise, Benny Snell, or Jeff Wilson? Oh, Jeff Wilson's on a bye. So
Jeff Wilson's on a bye, so no on him. It would have to be a super deep league for me to be interested in the other guys.
Procise and Snell. Okay. Hey, real quick, listeners. Seriously, real quick. Dave and I were talking before the show. Has there been a movie that has come out in the last 5 years that has a really good quote that people say all the time? Is that the best way to say it, Dave?
A quotable movie. I don't even know if it's one quote from a movie, but we were talking about Billy Madison quotes. And I mean, I think there's got to be at least six quotes that I could say, and you would know that I'm talking about Billy Madison.
Right.
And last you would know the exact scene.
Is there a movie that's like that? Okay, moving on. Wide receivers. Let us know, listeners. Wide receivers. All righty. We got Terry McLaurin. We've got these guys are available in not that many leagues, like 20 to 30% or 25 to 30%. McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Nelson Agholor. Do you trust Agholor this week against Green Bay?
No.
Even if Alshon's out again?
No.
All right, then Marvin Jones against Kansas City. Cortland Sutton, he's really only had one bad game, and it was against the Bears. He's been a kind of a monster the other two games, and he's got Jacksonville, unfortunately, this week. So check on those guys. See if McLaurin, Samuel, Agholor, Marvin Jones, and Cortland Sutton are available. The priorities that are available in a lot of leagues are Dorsett, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, DJ Chark, Mecole Hardman, who is number one on this list for Dave, right, over Dorsett?
Yep.
And number four for Jamie. Then you've got Preston Williams, and I know the numbers aren't huge for Williams, but the targets are pretty damn big, and he's actually has had 4 for 68, 3 for 24 and 1, 4 for 63, so not that bad for Preston Williams. Deontay Johnson against the Bengals this week. Paris Campbell against Oakland. That's if T.Y. Hilton's out. Golden Tate, who's 50% owned, and Randall Cobb, who's 47% owned. Okay. Preston Williams, Deontay Johnson, Paris Campbell, Golden Tate, Randall Cobb. Dave, take it away.
I think Tate is the best one long-term. I think Deontay Johnson is interesting. He had one great play against the 49ers, and I wonder if that buys him even more playing time and opportunities from Mason Rudolph. I'm waiting for Johnson to make a play like Juju had in the game. You know, Juju had a catch over the middle, and he takes it to the house. I think Deontay Johnson's capable of doing that same type of thing. And if we see that from him, that's when fantasy interest will really spike. So he wouldn't be tops on the list of guys that you gave me, but I think he'd be right behind Golden Tate.
Okay, great.
And Paris Campbell can do the exact same kind of thing because he's a good receiver. He's an okay route runner. He's got great speed. It's just a matter of opportunity. And I think the opportunities will be better without T.Y. Hilton on the field. But Indianapolis does so much mixing and matching with their formations. You're going to see a lot of other receivers and as many as three tight ends on the field at the same time. If T.Y. Hilton isn't there. So that kind of hurts Paris Campbell.
How much fab would you use on Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
10% tops.
I was going to say like 7% tops.
When you say that, are you talking about of your remaining budget or of your starting budget?
Starting budget.
Remaining budget.
Okay. Well, 10% of your remaining budget might be similar to 7% right. of your sure. starting budget. There you go.
Yeah, I said that backwards.
I said that backwards. Yeah, it's tough. That's why I think using starting budget is a better way to go, since people, but I don't really have strong conviction about that. I know people disagree about that. And then like Paris Campbell would be like a $1 or $2 guy, right?
One max.
1%.
Right.
No more.
Okay.
Because it could be Deion Kane as the best option for the Colts.
That's true.
It could be Zach Pascal as the best option.
Right.
You might even try and do it for 0%. And that's easy to figure out no matter how much of your fab you have left.
I'm going
to
read a whole bunch of names and tell me if you're interested in them. Part one, Jamison Crowder, Cole Beasley, Mac Hollins, Jacoby Myers, Devontae Parker, Devin Smith.
Crowder and Beasley. Beasley for this week I like. Crowder, just to wait on in full PPR. I think I'd stash him.
Jamie,
I would drop all of this.
Second part. Mohamed Sanu, Zach Pascal, Darius Slayton, Kenny Stills, James Washington, Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis, Deebo Samuel.
Of who do I want?
Yeah, any of them?
Deebo still.
I like that Pettis got involved last week.
5 targets, touchdown.
So yeah, mm-hmm. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come from.
I
still like Deebo better. And Slayton in the deepest of leagues, I would take a look.
I was going to say, only in my Dynasty League, I think I might try to add Darius Slayton.
Pete Briscoe drank, loves him.
Yeah, he's not bad. Not bad. Makes some
I'm not the Dynasty team that we share, Adam, but another one I have. I picked him up like before the start of the season just because I had open roster spot to play with, and I'm happy that I did.
All right, that's Darius Slayton. Team name Tuesday, we have some George Kittle names. I'll get to them in a second. Here are your tight ends other than George Kittle. Well, Greg Olsen and Austin Hooper would be ahead of George Kittle if they're available, right? Both of them?
Ahead of George Kittle?
Ahead of Will Disley, sorry.
I might take Disley ahead of Hooper.
George Kittle's on a bye. That's what I meant to say. George Kittle's on a bye.
Yeah, Hooper's been awesome. I'll take Hooper.
Okay, so Olsen, Hooper, Disley, they would be your top three. What about Eric Ebron? Any interest against Oakland this week?
He could be useful.
Yeah, he's like a top 15 tight end.
I feel like that's kind of a sneaky play if Hilton's out, though, and Oakland not very good against tight end. Well,
I thought that's what I would see. I watched the second half last week, and it didn't really happen. Like, his playing time didn't jump at all.
Doyle also. I like Doyle better in PPR and Ebron better in non-PPR. Both top 12 guys in each respective format, but bottom of the barrel top 12 guys.
Hate to admit it because I liked Ebron a little bit during the preseason, but it's true. Doyle's work could go up. And we did see that in the second half.
All right, so if you don't get Will Disley, you're looking at Witten, Vernon Davis. That's it, man. Jimmy Graham could be out there. Maybe somebody drops Hockenson. Get Will Disley, though. Anything
Trade
else
for Darren
say?
Waller. Waller is probably a backup tight end for somebody in every league.
Not anymore.
Well, he might be a starter now. You're going to have to pay up for him. But there's going to be somebody in the league that's got two tight ends and they'll be willing to trade one.
What I wanted to say about George Kittle was if you believe in George Kittle, now's the time to get him. If you can afford it. He's on his bye. The owner might be frustrated. Maybe see what you can
trade value is depressed for sure.
Team name Tuesday: Gore Ragnarok. Boyd Rage. New phone. Who Disley? Disley, how we do it? Walk Disley way. Na 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 na. Nuke and Root of All Eagle. Root of All Eagle.
That's a swing and a miss for Team Name Tuesday.
JJR Sega Heathsai. DSTs, Chargers, if they're available, get them. Steelers, Seahawks, Colts. And Dave, you said you like the Falcons?
I do. They're not my favorite. Steelers are my favorite.
Joey Sly, Matt Bryan, Zane Gonzalez. Yeah. Those are kickers. And I think we're done. I think we're done here, guys. How's it going? How'd you feel about today's
show? We're done
show?
For the show?
Yeah, we're done for the show.
You sure?
I think we're done. Yeah, we've covered it all.
Okay, that's good. Gotta go back.
All right. Bye, Jamie. Throw that headset. Bye, Dave. Duke.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.